This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
This is what the scripture says. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. By the way, if he didn't give it to you, where do you think it might be coming from? He's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I really like the NIV, what it says about this. It says, "For the spirit God gave us." For the spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I want to talk to you about the antidote for fear is the Holy Spirit. The antidote for fear is the Holy Spirit. Now, certainly these are unprecedented different days. Days of anxiety, days of apprehension. Somebody said things are changing by the hour. Certainly these are different, difficult days. It reminds me of a story of a guy that had a big sign out in front of his house. And this big sign said, "Beware of dog. Beware of dog." It was a massive sign. And his friend comes by and he sees that big sign. It says, "Beware of dog." And about that time, from behind that sign, out comes a teacup Yorkie weighing about 3 pounds. And he said to his friend, "Now, friend, that's a teacup Yorkie. That dog is not going to scare anybody." He said, "I know, but the sign will. But the sign will." Now, here's what I believe, folks. We have a virus, COVID-19. No doubt is real. But I'll tell you, I don't believe the virus is spreading near as fast as a spirit of fear is spreading. A spirit of fear, a spirit of panic, a spirit of literally being terrified is spreading so fast over our land. And I want to hasten to say, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now I want you to understand something, folks. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this: "For God's not the author of confusion, but of peace." For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now I love what Max Lucado said. He said this. He said, "The presence of fear does not mean you have no faith. Fear visits everyone, but make fear a visitor and not a resident." Make fear a visitor and not a resident. I'm going to make two statements, and I want you to listen to me very closely. Probably make most of you angry, but that's okay. Two statements. A.W. Tozer said, "If you please God, you'll be in trouble with men." So I can handle being in trouble with men. I want to make two statements. Statement number one: because people wear masks does not mean they don't have faith. Because people wear masks does not mean they don't have faith. God gives us natural fears for self-protection. There's nothing wrong with people wearing masks. It doesn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, that people do not have faith. It's ludicrous to make a statement like that. Let me explain. Barbara and I go to the beach. And I say, "Barbara, I'm going to walk down on the beach." And she would say this. She'd say, "Benny, you ought to put sunscreen on." Can you imagine? I look at her and say, "No, I'm a man of faith." Get real. Because people put a mask on doesn't mean they don't have faith. Now I want you to understand something else. because people don't wear a mask doesn't mean they're insensitive and they don't care about others. Here's what I believe, folks. You say, well, Pastor, where do you get that? 1 Samuel 16 and 7 says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Here's what we've done. We've allowed something to create division and create discord, and God's not the author of it. The enemy is the author of this. The enemy is the author of this. And what we ought to do is come together and love one another and realize we're not each other's enemy. The devil is our enemy, and we're on the same side. But here's what I found out. When fear grips your spirit, anxiety builds in your heart, we'll do things that we wouldn't normally do. And we won't do things that we should do. I heard about a guy that was in a high-speed chase. I mean, literally, a state trooper jumped in behind him, and it was a high-speed chase, and it went on for several miles. And finally, the trooper stopped him, and he said, friend, I mean, you drove like a maniac, and you don't understand. I was just going to pull you over to tell you your left taillight was out. Why did you drive at 115 miles per hour? Why did you do that? He said, well, officer, let me explain. He said, 2 weeks ago, my wife left me. He said, my goodness. He said, yes. And she left me with a state trooper. And I was afraid he was bringing her back. Now, fear will cause you to do strange things. But I want you to listen close, because I'm going to help you today. God's in heaven. Jesus is at his right hand. The Holy Spirit is the one that's here with us. So the Holy Spirit is the one who is going to help us with what we face in life. Because he is the one that's here. He's the one that's with you. I want you to understand that. And it's woven in the scriptures that the antidote for fear is the Holy Spirit. The antidote. You said, Pastor, I'm worried about my children. I'm fearful of this situation. I'm fearful of that situation. I'm fearful of getting cancer. I'm fearful of getting COVID. I'm fearful of my marriage not working out. I'm fearful of this. Listen, the antidote is the Holy Spirit. The antidote is this person, the Holy Spirit. It's woven in the Bible. Now, let me explain. Moses was leading 3.5 million Jews from Egypt into the promised land. They get to the edge of Canaan, and Moses takes 12 men. He takes 12 men, and he said, guys, go spy the land out. 10 of them come back. This is what they say. They're strong over there. It's walled over there. They got walls around that place. And better than that, they've got giants over there. Two guys come back named Caleb and Joshua. Caleb says in Numbers 13 and 30, we need to go up at once and possess it. He said, they're big, but our God's bigger. They're big, but our God is bigger. We need to go up at once and possess it. Another guy by the name of Joshua, he makes up the 12. Joshua says in Numbers 14 and 9, only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, because they are bread for us. Let me tell you what I know about bread. Bread will enlarge you. Amen? Bread will cause you to spread. Amen? Let me tell you something. When you step out in spite of fear and you trust God, it will enlarge you. It will enlarge you. It will expand you. It will deepen your ministry. It will take you to a different level when you step out in spite of that fear. Now wait, I thought about these two guys. What made the difference in their lives? Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. He had another spirit with him. If God be for us, who can be against us? Another spirit with him. Wait. It doesn't stop there. I thought about David. You know, I read about David. And up to 1 Samuel 17, David didn't go around hunting giants. He wasn't hunting giants up to 1 Samuel 17. What made the difference? 1 Samuel 16. Look what the scripture says. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he was willing to go devil hunting with a switch. Amen? I mean, he had courage. He had confidence. He had a calmness about him that he didn't have before. Amen? It was because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and that fear was no longer there, because the power of God and the presence of God is what makes all the difference in your life and in my life. Oh, there was a guy in the Bible named Peter. In Luke chapter 22, verse 54, it says they took Jesus and they brought him to the high priest's house. They brought him to Caiaphas's house. Now, you got to understand something. When they brought Jesus and arrested him, Peter was scared to death. Write this down or keep it in your mind. He feared for his life. He feared for his life. But let's read. It says, and Peter followed afar off. Not only did he fear for his life, but he followed afar off. Listen very closely. You know when we get in trouble with God? When we try to follow God afar off. When we try to follow afar off instead of being up real close to him. We're trying to follow him afar off. We're trying to hold on to the world. We're trying to hold on to him also. We're trying to follow afar off. Now look what the Bible says. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, they were set down together, and Peter sat among them. Get this. He feared for his life. He followed afar off, but he fellowshipped with the wrong crowd. He fellowshipped with the wrong crowd. Let me tell you something, folks. When you fellowship with the wrong crowd, you're going to get in trouble. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You say, oh, but Pastor, I can do this. No, no, you come up real close and listen to Pastor. If you hang around the barber shop, you're going to get a haircut. You hang around with losers, you're going to be a loser. Maybe you are the loser and somebody don't need to hang around with you. But there's people, let me tell you something. You hear me closely. You need to be friendly with everybody, but everybody don't need to be your friend. Because they're going to pull you down. You can't hang around with the lounge lizards at the Crystal Pistol and live for Jesus. So, well, I'm not coming back to hear you anymore. Well, I just load your wagon while I got you here. Now, wait. He feared for his life. He followed afar off. He fellowshiped with the wrong crowd. And then he fervently denied the Lord. He fervently denied the Lord. But wait. This happens. This guy, this little girl says, "Do you know him?" He says, "I don't know him." You mean this little girl intimidated you, Peter? This little old damsel, you were scared to death of this little old girl? "I don't know him." Three times in the rooster crowed. But something happened. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. And Jesus had told him about it. He said in Acts 1 and 8, "You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And then in Acts 2 and 4, look what the Bible says. It says, "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And look what the Bible says in Acts 4 and 8. It says, "Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost." And he said to the Supreme Court of Israel. Now, he couldn't stand up to one woman. Of course, some of you men can relate. He couldn't stand up. Listen, he couldn't stand up to this little old bitty woman. Amen? But look, he stands up to the most powerful court in Israel in Acts 4 and 12. And he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Here's what I want you to see. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, "Be ye filled with the Spirit." Now let me say this. The Holy Spirit is not a liquid. "Be ye filled with the Spirit." The Holy Spirit is not a liquid. The Holy Spirit is a person. Having the Holy Spirit is not enough. The Holy Spirit must have us. Last week, I talked to you about grieving the Spirit. Today, I want to talk to you about quenching the Spirit. Do you realize the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19 that we as humans can quench the Holy Spirit inside of us? Quench not the Spirit. So I can quench the Spirit, and you can quench the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. You know what it means when you quench the Spirit? It means you put out the fire. You put out the fire. So when I read that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 that said, "Quench not the Spirit," I said, "God, I don't want to do that. But I've got to find out. I don't want to put out the fire. I want to fan the flame. I want to fan the flame in my life. I want to fan the flame in my life. So what do I have to do to fan the flame in my life? What do I have to do to be filled with God's presence? To have the fullness of God?" Let me tell you something, folks. Come up. There's nothing worse than a full church of half full people. There's nothing worse than a full church of half full people. And God wants us to be filled with His fullness. David said, "My cup runneth over. I can't share anything with you unless my cup's running over." That's why I've got to be filled. So, Brother Benny, how do we fan the flame? How do we stay full? Well, the Bible tells us. First thing he says is rejoice. Look what 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16 says. It says, rejoice evermore. That's why worship is so important. That's why worship is so important. Rejoice evermore. Just rejoice. You know, folks, I'm probably guilty of exaggerating things. Let me explain. I think Savannah Abigail is the smartest girl in the world. I think she's the prettiest girl in the world. Because that's probably an exaggeration. She's mine. I think the greatest football team on earth is the Tennessee Vols. Couple guys that were spirit-filled raised their hands. But I got to be transparent with you. That's an exaggeration. That's an exaggeration. But listen, isn't it neat to worship a God that we can't exaggerate? However you describe him, he's better than that. Amen? Whatever you say about him, he's better than that. And folks, the Bible teaches us to rejoice. I remember early ministry, I was having a problem with a lady. Oh, God. Oh, she was a problem for me. This is not an exaggeration. I was pastoring a small church. I would preach. She would be in the worship. She'd be raising her hands, praising the Lord. And when it would come time for me to get up and preach, she would go to the back of the house and stand. She was just boycotting me, causing me all kind of problems. And I called an older preacher and I said, listen, she's driving me crazy. I just wanted to slap her in Jesus' name. And he said, when you're around her, you need to rejoice. I said, you rejoice? There's nothing to rejoice about. He said, yes, they are. Every time you're around her, you get down on your knees and you thank Jesus that you're not married to her. Amen? You say, Pastor, I don't have anything to rejoice about. Well, look at Luke 10 and 20. It says, rejoice because your name's written in heaven. Hey, you rejoice because of salvation. Amen? Aren't you grateful for salvation, that God thought it and Jesus brought it and the blood bought it, the Bible taught it, the Holy Spirit wrought it, the devil fought it, and we caught it. I'm glad we're saved. But he said there's a second thing. If you want to fan the flame, you pray. Look what he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. D.L. Moody said, I didn't pray long prayers, but I didn't go long without prayer. You're just constantly in a spirit of prayer. There's a third thing he said to do. He said, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said, if you want to fan the flame, you just give thanks. Somebody said, I'm a thankful person. It's not enough that it's in your heart. It needs to come out of your mouth. You need to say to people, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you. I never understood. I understand. Listen to you. If you've got a godly dad and a godly mom, you ought to thank God for them every day. You ought to let them know what they mean to you and how special they are to you. So fourth thing he said. He said, obey God's word. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, look what it says. Despise not prophecies. What that means is the spoken or written, revealed word of God, you obey. Somebody said to me, he said, Pastor, I don't understand all the Bible. Well, let me say something. I don't understand all the Bible either. And that's okay. Look, to understand the part of the Bible that you don't understand is to obey the part of the Bible that you do understand, and before long, you'll begin to understand what you didn't understand. I'm just saying, folks, I don't understand it all, but walk in the truth that you know to be true. Just walk in God's word. You don't have to understand it all, but obey God and leave the consequences to Him. Somebody said, I'm praying about doing something. No. If the Bible teaches it, you don't pray about it. You just do it. Let me tell you the fifth thing, and I'm almost done. Avoid the very appearance of evil. Look what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Somebody said, Pastor, I don't care what people see. We better care what people see. Because the Bible says that every one of us are to avoid the very appearance of evil. Amen. Listen. If you go to the ball field, I don't guess many people are going today, but if you go to the ball field and you act like an idiot and you win the game, but you've destroyed your testimony, did you really win? And as a young lady, you want to tell somebody about Jesus, but you don't have enough clothes on to make a squirrel a bathing suit? That's not avoiding the very appearance of evil. I'm just saying, folks, avoid the very appearance of evil. I think as we mature in our faith, there comes times we have to say, no. This could look the wrong way. This could be perceived the wrong way. My testimony means more to me. Mildred was a church gossip. She was the self-appointed monitor of the church's morals. She kept sticking her nose into other people's business. Does anybody know a Mildred? Is there a Mildred here? Several members did not approve of her extracurricular activities. But to be honest with you, they were scared to death of old Mildred. She made a mistake, though. She accused George, a new member of the church, of being an alcoholic. She said, George, you're an alcoholic. Because I saw your truck parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon at 1:30. She emphatically told George and several others that everyone seeing it there would know he was an alcoholic. George was a man of few words, so he stared at her for a moment and just turned to walk away. He didn't try to defend. He didn't try to deny. He just walked away. Later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house. And left it there all night. This is all I'm going to say. George and Mildred both needed to avoid the very appearance of evil. And we do too. Let me say this, folks. You know, this whole deal about being filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm almost done. This whole deal. Do you know not one place in the Bible does a person come out and say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? Not one place. You say, you got to be kidding, Pastor. Not one. Never in that context. It was always somebody else saw them and said, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. The fullness of Him in our life is obvious. The fullness of Him in my life and in your life, it's obvious to other people. This is the last story. It's in the Bible. Peter, in Acts 4 and 8, was filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, well, Brother Benny, I thought he was filled in Acts chapter 2. He was. He was. You know what I do every day? Lord, I need a fresh filling of your presence. Lord, I need a fresh filling of your spirit. Well, he was filled, and let me tell you about this guy, and I'm done. He goes out and preaches, and he gets in trouble with the Supreme Court. It's not an exaggeration. The Sanhedrin, the 71-member highest court in Israel, he gets in trouble with them. They put him in jail. They let him out and they threaten him in Acts 4 and 29. They threatened him. And he prayed and he said, God, help us. I'm fearful. These are serious threats. And today people have all kind of fears. People fear what's going to happen with their children. People fear what's going to happen in their health. People fear what's going to happen in situations. It visits all of us. Say, what about you, Pastor Benny? Oh, it's visited me. It's visited me. Been times in my life I was scared to death. It's visited me many, many times. But look what happened. And when they had prayed, so we got these fears, a good place to start is prayer. The place was shaken where they were assembled. Wait. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Wait. They were scared. They were fearful. But they were filled with God's presence. And then a boldness came that they didn't have before. A boldness came that they didn't have before. The antidote for fear in your life is the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. You need the power of God. The antidote for fear in your life is the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, but oh, Pastor, the antidote for fear in all of our lives is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.